Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. The date today is the 26th of Ramadan, 1443, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 28th of April, 2022. We welcome you to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madahib al-Arba'a, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. The topic today is with regards to Ramadan. We have our Honorable Mufti Saab here. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum on a Zaid Khan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, the first question is, what is the importance of Sadaqatul Fitr?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The term is known as Zakatul Fitr or Sadaqatul Fitr. Zakat means purification and growth, and Sadaqah means charity. So remember that is the proof for it in the Noble Quran. The ulama say yes, and if you want reference of it, you will find it in Targhib wa Targhib by Allama Munziri Rahimahullah also. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala states in Surah 87, Surah Sabbihisma Rabbikal A'la, Qad aflaha man tazakka. Indeed, the person is successful who paid the Zakatul Fitr, who paid the Sadaqatul Fitr, wa dhakara isma rabbihi, and then when going to the Eidgah, going to the Eid Musalla or the Masjid for the Eid Salat, he reads the Takbir, and thereafter for Swalla, he performs the Eidul Fitr Salat. So chapter 87, Suratul A'la, verses 14 and 15, so that will be your proof from the Noble Quran for Zakatul Fitr, for Sadaqatul Fitr. And then in the Hadith Sharif, there are so many ahadith, but the best one and most important one is the one reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, wherein he says, Farada Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Zakatul Fitri, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it compulsory. That's an academic discussion. That Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali say farz, and Hanafi say wajib. But academically, basically, it's the same thing. So remember that is one, two slight differences, but in principle, it means compulsory. So Zakat al-Fitr was made compulsory by the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Islam, whenever we study, we will see the first benefit will accrue to ourselves. Tuhratan lis-sa'imi min al-laghwi wal-rafath. For the person who was fasting, it's a means of purification. We are fasting, we saw wrong things, we heard wrong things, we spoke wrong things. So thus, when we pay, remember, it purifies that and cleanses it. And second benefit will be وَتُؤْمَةً لِلْمَسَاكِينَ, to help the poor people. Poor people means the poor Muslims. So this is authentic hadith in Abu Dawood. So what is the philosophy, the wisdom, the rationale of this? So we gave it to you already, and logically also you see, many poor people, Muslims, now how will they enjoy Eid al-Fitr? They also want to have a sumptuous meal, they also want to wear nice clothes and so forth and so on. So now already we should be giving them that cash or kind, so they can make the necessary preparations. For example, if you give them money, they can buy what they require and need. For example, if you give them clothing or you give them food, then that also will be handy for them. So whatever the person feels he wants to give, he can give, provided that the item we are giving, it must be halal. And that is why it's so important we discharge it now already, today, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So the sooner we discharge it, the better it is.
Mufti Sahib, what are the conditions for a person to be a recipient of Sadaqatul Fitr?
Remember that the Shafi'is and them are very strict on that. The Shafi'is and them say, "Man indahu qutu yawmin wa laylatin." Let's say Eid is on Monday, example. It can be Monday, Tuesday, we know that. But just to give you an example, that Eid is on Monday. So from Sunday, Maghrib time, till Monday, Maghrib time, that 24 hours. If that person there has, you must remember, food for himself and his family, so he has to pay fitrah according to the Shafi'is, Hanbalis and them. He can't be receiving fitrah because he has more food than required in his house for himself, his wife and children and so forth. So therefore, if you take the recipient, it means that person must not have sufficient food for 24 hours. He must have less than that. Then only he can receive the Zakatul Fitr, Sadaqatul Fitr. So this is Shafi's, Hanbalis and them. However, the Hanafis say the person who's entitled to receive Zakat, he can also receive Zakatul Fitr, Sadaqatul Fitr. So the Hanafis are much more flexible if you look at the recipient compared to the Shafi'is. So the Shafi'is say, even if you are poor, then you must still pay Zakatul Fitr because you got extra for more, you got sufficient for the 24 hours, so you got more than that. So therefore, you have to pay, so you can't be receiving. So again, it is an academic discussion. And the amount also is little, but remember that our fatwa and verdict is that it is 30 rand Sadaqatul Fitr for the Hanafi scholars. And remember, easy way to remember will be for the countries beyond South Africa and other countries, minimum $2 per person. And remember, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, they say 40 rand. So remember that it will be more according to majority scholars and so forth and so on. Let's take your example, Mu'azahid. So mashallah, it's you got your three children, then you got your wife and so forth. So really speaking, it's compulsory upon you to pay for yourself and your three children. All of them are minors. So it's not compulsory upon you to pay on behalf of your wife. But we say just pay on behalf of your wife, but before payment, just inform her that you are paying or take her permission and so forth. So now it will be five of you. So minimum 150 rand, and you give that to poor Muslims, can't give to non-Muslims. So in that way, you know your Sadaqatul Fitr will be discharged. If you take majority scholars, so the same example, so they will say you must give 200 rand. Because why? It's 40 rand and you're a five. So you must remember, so you'll have to give 200 rand. So the more we give, the better it is. So if that Hanafi person wants to give 40 rand, 50 rand, we will tell him that 100% is very, very good to do so. On a lighter note, let me give you one lighter note story. People love stories. If you come here to our Jami Masjid here in Lens, so the Jami Masjid is run by Miasfam, Waterfall Islamic Institute, you know Miasfam, what they call. So when I came here in the starting 2001, you know, so I started classes there and hadith and this and all that. So then Eid came and so forth. So anyway, whether it was 2001, 2002, but it was around that time there. So then, I give you example that we say now 30 rand for Hanafis and 40 rand for Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis. Miaswam, they say 68 rand. What they say? 68 rand for this year is the fitrah. So you can see the big difference. So anyway, that time there, on the board they had, on the chalkboard, they had, Mias Farm says, for example, I'm just giving example, 18 rand or something. You know, I don't remember exactly, but just say 18 rand. Because normally they got a funny figure also. And the Jamiat had about 10 rand or 12 rand or something like that. So one old man, so I was there looking at the board, so he came behind me, he tapped me. He said, I had to hoochie. What's all this with you Molvis? That one is saying 18 rand, and one is saying 10 rand, 12 rand, and all that. So can't you like sort yourself out? So I put my hand by him to cool him down, you know. I said, Baji, that this 18 rand Vyas Farm, I vet hate che, tax hate che. And this other one here, 10 rand, I uplang che. You understand? So he said, oh, M che. He said, yeah. So he felt satisfied then. Is this a story I made? You understood? So you must remember, so people ask me now in the masjid, must we pay 68 rand and all that? So because it isn't there like that. So you must remember, so I said, yes, for us ordinary mortals, we pay 30 rand or 40 rand. Hanafis, 30, Shafis, Maliki, somebody is 40 rand. But if you reach like Mias Farm and them, multi-millionaire bracket and so forth, then pay 68 rand, 70 rand, then no problem. So if anybody wants to pay extra, so alhamdulillah, there's no problem with that.
Mufti Saab, well, with regards to Sadaqatul Fitr, should we give it to any organization or go to people personally?
So remember, I always say that whether it's our zakat, whether it's our fidya, people who are incapable of fasting for the remainder of their lives because of old age or because they are chronically ill, or whether it's Sadaqatul Fitr, just leave out these organizations. Majority of them are unreliable. Even this morning, somebody mentioned one, two names. I told them, no, don't give. The only organization I can say I got 100% confidence is the Majlisul Ulama. And mashallah, when I went to PE, so you must remember, just before Ramadan, so I had a meeting with Hazrat Mohan Ahmad Sadiq Desai Sahib. And I told him, Hazrat, past 50 years, you're doing so much work. People really want to give, but they don't know who to give. So mashallah, then Maulana prepared something and then they sent the account details and we sent it out to hundreds and thousands of people. So alhamdulillah, so at least in that way there. So that is, and likewise our ulama in Cape Town. So Da'alum Newcastle, if you know South African history, that Da'alum Newcastle where I was for 20 years in Newcastle. So... So it's the oldest Darulum in South Africa. It's 50 years this year, end of the year. Started by Hazrat Muhammad Qasim Sema Rahimahullah in 73. And Qasimul Ulum is there. The students of Ulama there, graduates of Newcastle. 25 years they're running Qasimul Ulum in Cape Town. So we sent out their details also because we know that they are really poor people and deserving people and so forth and so on. But personally, I would not advise people to give organizations. You must remember that. Half of them, they will cut percentage for themselves, 10%, 15%, 20%. Others, they will be giving their family and friends. Others will be investing it. Like you can see what's happening today. They're cutting deals with this business people and those business people. So all this is haram. You can't do that. You can't take zakat money and leave in the bank to collect zakat, to collect interest. You can't take zakat money and invest it and say, no, we'll make more money out of it. All that is haram in Islam, whether it's zakat, whether it's fitra, whether it's fidya. So you can't. We must discharge it immediately. There are millions of people waiting, and now you say, no, on Sarrahmak, we'll fix up and so forth and so on.
Mufti Sahib, if a person seems needy, can we hand over our zakat?
Remember, in Islam, we work on the law of ghalaba idwan. So as long as you are sure that this person is Muslim, and there in front of you, 70, 80, 90%, he seems like a deserving person, and you gave him that zakat, or the fitrah, or the fidya, and so forth, then he's discharged. Provided that he doesn't turn out to be a non-Muslim, or is not turning out to be a person's parents, or grandparents, or children, grandchildren. So you can't give upwards parents, grandparents, you can't give children, grandchildren, and so forth and so on. See, two other discussions here I want to, before just now we miss it. That people, they ask, that last night was 27th night in Masjidul Haram, Masjid Nabawi, Aqsa al-Mubarak, Makkah Mukarramah, 2 million plus people there, and Masjidul Nabawi, 500,000, and over 100,000 there or so, there in Aqsa al-Mubarak. We say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, very, very good. But now people say, but that was last night, and you telling us that we telling them that Laylatul Qadr, inshallah, in South Africa is tonight, Thursday night. So how come? So I said, see, look at the sun, S-U-N. You see now it's going for 11:30 now. So if you go to New Zealand, so now it's 9:30 at night already. So you must remember, they're 10 hours ahead of us. So I've been to New Zealand, been to Fiji, all these areas. So they're far, far ahead of us. When once I was in Argentina, Brazil, South America, and remember, if you look at the map, you know, so where's New Zealand and where's Argentina, Chile, Brazil? So it's 16-17 hours time difference, like plus minus. You must remember that. So much, you know, a lot of difference there. So depending on season and all this type of thing. So more than 10 hours anyway. So because I had to do radio programs for them, so I had to give them the exact timings. So I said, look at the sun, S-U-N. Understand? So everywhere the sun rise, the sunset is different, but it's one. So, take South Africa, one country, Cape Town, the sunrise, sunset, and Durban, sunrise, sunset is different. Johannesburg, Durban, Johannesburg, Cape Town. So what about different countries, different cities, different continents, when I used to travel so much overseas with Allah's help, Allah's mercy. So we used to go through time zones. Sometimes you must have a whole day in the air. So you must remember you left on a Tuesday, by the time you reach your destination is Thursday. What happened to Wednesday? You understood? So you must remember, because time zones all change and so forth and so on. So all these things that happens, that's one issue. So don't ever let the shaitan play mind games with you. Just use the example of the sun, and that will solve your problem. Second problem is, or second inquiry, let's call it, or query, that people say that how come in Sadaqatul Fitr you've got these differences? Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, they say 40 rand or more, and the Hanafis say 30 rand to US dollars or more, like that. So why these differences? So the answer I gave for them is this. If you know Islam, then Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's demise in the 11th year. Then the next 30 years was the Khilafat Rashida. So from the 11th year to the 40th year was, you must remember, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Ali, radiallahu anhu majma'in. Sayyidina Ali was martyred on the 17th of Ramadan, the year 40. Then after, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu ran the affairs and matters of this Ummah for 6 months. So that also is part of Khulafa'i Rashidin. And Al-Khilafatu Ba'di Salatuna Sanatan Salatuna Aman. So 30 years. So thereafter you have the Umayyad dynasty, plus minus 90, 95, 100 years plus minus. And thereafter you have the Abbasid dynasty, 525 years. And thereafter you have the Ottoman Empire for 640 years. So we take you to the Abbasid dynasty. And the headquarters is Iraq, is Baghdad, and so forth. The Khalifa is Khalifa Harun Rashid. He came for Umrah, he came for Hajj. He comes to Medina Munawwara. Lo and behold, Imam Malik Rahimahullah is there. Imam Udar al-Hijrah is a genius. He spent his whole life there. Only time he left Medina was once to go for Hajj, like that. And remember, Qazi Abu Yusuf, the Chief Justice, he was there. So Qazi Abu Yusuf was one of the greatest students. He spent 18 years with Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, approximately. So Imam Abu Yusuf is one side, Imam Malik is one side, Harun Rashid is the Khalifa, the presiding officer. You giants are here, so make it educational, teach the Ummah something. So the first day, the topic of discussion, Sajdah Sahu. When must you perform Sajdah Sahu? So when they asked Imam Abu Yusuf, so he said, Ba'd as-salam. You make the two sajdahs after you made one salam to the right hand side. So finish. So then remember, they asked Imam Malik, when must you perform and make sajdah so? So he said, Al-Qafu bil-Qaf wa dalu bil-Dal. He spoke in code language. The public obviously did not understand, but Imam Yusuf is a genius. He knew what he was saying. Al-Qafu bil-Qaf. If there's nuqsan, so the first qaf is nuqsan, qaf, nuqsan. And it will be qabla salam. So if, example, that person did not sit after two rakats in a three rakat, four rakat salat, and he stood up straight to the third rakat, so it's nuqsan, he omitted something. So he must perform the sajda so qabla salam. So like how Shafi's in the make, that is, that you read the shahud, at-tahiyat, you read the salawat, durud sharif, durud Ibrahim, you make your dua, then you just say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and you make salam both sides. So that is qabla salam. Wa dalu bid-dal ziyada ba'd as-salam. So we say you made two rukus or you made three sajdas, so there's something extra. So you make sajdah so ba'd as-salam, like the Hanafi style, after the one salam. So he, Imam Abu Yusuf, asked him that, O Malik, Imam Udar al-Hijrah, what will be your verdict if a person fi salat in wahida, he made ziyada and nuqsan? One person made two rukus, for example, and he didn't sit after two rakats. So the ziyada and nuqsan. Then when will he perform the sajda so? For sakata Malik. So Imam Malik kept quiet. Some people started laughing, smiling and all. So Imam Malik said, Ada jaza'u man lam yamut ma aqrani. This is the punishment for people who don't pass away with their contemporaries and colleagues. He was very old, 80 years old plus minus. So first day, Imam Abu Yusuf won. Like, his arguments were stronger. Next day, so the discussion was, Ma miqdaru zakat al-fitr? Ma miqdaru sadaqat al-fitr? So how much must you pay? You understand? I just use today modern term. So Imam Abu Yusuf said, 30 rand. You understood? So to make you understand, Imam Malik said, no, you must pay 40 rand. So obviously there's discrepancy. There's a difference between the two. So now, manidda'a shay'an fa alayhi dalil. When you claim something, then you have to bring dalil and evidence. So they asked Imam Abu Yusuf, why you say this? He said, this is the saw. Saw is, the word is used in Quran, similar word. In Surah Yusuf, Suwa al-Maliki. There in Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam's time, that the suwa, that measurement they would use for the king and so forth. So we use the term saw. Sword, alif, ayn. So he said, we use the saw, Iraqi, and so forth. And this is how we calculate it. Imam Malik said, okay, that was his dalil and evidence. So then Imam Malik, rahimahullah, said, but we use the saw, Hijazi. Hijaz means Makkah, Mukarrama, Medina, Munawwara, Taif, Jeddah, all that is called Hijaz. So remember, and then, he, Imam Malik, was there, and he brought so much dalail, so many dalail, that the Abna'ul Muhajirin, Abna'ul Ansar, Ahfaduhum, and their children, their grandchildren, and each one of them brought a saw, and they say, this is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to use, this is what Sahaba used to use, and so forth, the Sa'i Hijazi. See, this is knowledge. So what he did, Imam Abu Yusuf, وَرَجَعَ عَنْ قَوْلِهِ, he withdrew his verdict and he went with majority scholars. So if you ask today what Imam Abu Yusuf says regarding fitra, he will say 40 rand. You see, that is how fiqh works. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, 3 days 3 days prior to his passing away, go open Fatawa Imadiyya, Uta'in. Fatawa Imadiyya, then the question is, Luhumul Khail, that the meat of the horse. So is it jais or not? Everybody says it's jais. Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, they all say it's jais. It's permissible. Imam Abu Hanifa used to say it's makruh and so on. But when in the ending portion of his life, he started weighing, analyzing everything, so raja'a an qawlihi, and he made withdrew his verdict and fatwa, and he joined the majority scholars and said that the luhumul khayl is totally permissible. So today, if you say that according to all 4 schools, the horse meat is permissible, so 100%. If you open Tirmidhi, I just give you one more example. Not our copies, the copies we use in a madrasa, Darul Ulums, no. If you get the Arab copy, the copy I have, I got 3-4 copies, but the copy, one copy I know you will find it there, is the copy where Sheikh Ahmed Muhammad Shakir, he was a great, great giant, a great scholar of hadith from Egypt. So he edited it, you must remember. If you get that copy there, then you discuss Masal al-Khufain. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, his fatwa initially was that jilt must be used, there must be some leather and so forth. Then afterwards, just also before he passed away, وَرَجَعَ عَنْ قَوْلِهِ, he withdrew, and then remember he said no, as long as it's thakhinain. So if you don't have leather, you have something else, say synthetic leather for example, or whatever else, and it is waterproof and it's very thick and so forth and so on, so that will be permissible. You take Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he left Egypt, he left Baghdad in the year 199. He went to Egypt and he passed away there in 204, to the last 4 or 5 years. So how many fatawa he changed after he went there? Why? Because he found more ahadith, more athar and saying of sahaba and so forth. Therefore, if you understand Shafi'i fiqh, so they call him sahibul qawlain. That 17 fatawa only are on qawl qadim, the old fatwas of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. And the rest of the Shafi'i school, the fatawa are on qawl jadid. So this is the sign of true scholars, that how they would draw. But today, the people will say, this Maulana, this Mufti, they confuse, they're blowing our fuses. Because we deal with jahil, ignorant people, they don't know whether they're coming or going and so forth. So therefore, they make such statements. Otherwise, you must remember that if you look at the Salaf Esali, so it was something common that they would withdraw whenever they found there was a greater dalil, better dalil and evidence and so forth and so on.
We welcome our listeners back to this program. Mufti Saab and Mulana A.S., you both said previously that for the moon sighting, we would take from neighboring countries. But now we see that Mulana A.S. has joined Wifaqul Ulama.
Remember that the last program we did was on Bliss of Marriage, I think it was, on Tuesday or so. And somebody asked the question, so I said that no, that I don't know about it and so forth. Then after that, I saw that pamphlet. I knew nothing about it. And then I had to contact them here in the year and all of that to ask, is this authentic? So they said, yes, it's authentic, and Hazrat will be coming, inshallah, and so forth. So I said, very good, and so forth. See, let me make two, three things clear. Hazrat Mawlana Mufti Ahmad Sadiq Desai is the Amir. So on these type of issues, whatever fatwa he issues, he don't have to make mashura with us or anything. So we agree with him, finish and clear. He said we're going to go with neighboring countries. I used to say this many years ago, we should do that. So I was very happy. So now he says that this. See, I show you Hanafi school, how it works, then you'll understand. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith sahih, Bukhari, Muslim, all. Sumu li ru'yatihi wa aftiru li ru'yatihi. You must start fasting after the sighting of the crescent, right? And you must celebrate your Eid al-Fitr as well after the sighting of the crescent. So this hadith is finished, is 100%. Now the question arises that regarding the iqlim, regarding the aqalim, regarding the distance and the cities and the countries and the territories and whatever continents or whatever. So if you look at Hanafi school, remember, if he cited one place, so then you can take from other places. It'll be like other places can also accept it and so forth and so on. So like there's no problem. Even today, if some organization says they want to take from Zimbabwe or Malawi or Zambia or so, and they have what we call bitariqin mujibin, people who are reliable, ulama and others, and so forth. So that's fine. Nobody can object on them academically. But the Hanafis have another usul, and that is called istihsan. Istihsan means that what do you feel and you know will be better for your people, your area, your this and all. Otherwise, if you take the Shafi'i school says their fatwa is this. That's different thing. Today, no Shafi'i practices on it. So you must remember that لِكُلِّ بَلَدٍ رُؤْيَتُهُمْ. Every city must have their own sighting. If the moon is sighted in Cape Town, so it's not necessary for the people, the Shafi'is in Kimberley, to follow them. They must see their own. Then the people of Johannesburg, but the Shafi'is, they just change and they go with the Hanafi school and so forth. So if you're speaking of original madhab, when I was in a conference there, in Saudi, this was in Riyadh. So, you know, sometimes they used to invite us. I get invited, I don't know. With all Allah's fadl, Allah's mercy, rahmah. But I never studied there and so forth. But my name was appear or something, whatever. So, and I always want to know what's going on. So I pose this question to the same Grand Mufti now, Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Abdullah Ali Sheikh. Before him was Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah. Or both blind. Therefore, on a lighter note, I say, to become a Grand Mufti in Saudi Arabia, you must be blind. You don't know what's going on in the world, so you become the Grand Mufti. Anyway, so you must remember, I asked him, Sheikh, explain to us how your moon works and that in Saudi. So he said, we don't see the moon for 9 months, 8 months, 9 months, we don't. Ramadan time they see, Shawwal time they see, Hajj time they see, and Shaaban because there's hadith. So 3-4 months maybe they see, but 8-9 months they don't see. His exact words were, I still remember, verbatim, I'm quoting, laysa fiha ahkam. There were no rulings in it. That's what he said. We disagree with him. I'm just explaining it to you. Then we asked him that you have to write, you see. Okay, we in South Africa. He said, no, you mustn't follow us. You must. Every country must do their own sighting. That is Grand Mufti of Saudi Arabia. The people really listen today. All Arab countries, 1-2 countries don't follow. I know Morocco shouldn't follow. Remember that. They shouldn't follow Saudi sighting. Now if things change, because now Abrahamic Accord and all that shaitans got together, another country shouldn't follow was Oman. I've been to all these countries with Allah's help. So they should, because there they got Ibadiyah. So they have their own sighting and so forth and so on. So that's how they work. But majority they just follow. You see our people also, that in Canada, America and Europe and Britain and all, they're like sheep, you just follow. So the moon got no tekana at all. There's not no upside down past 40-50 years. But people just follow. So we don't want that. We reject reject that totally. But so the Hanafis got a law called istihsan. So both ways you can practice. You can practice that, you can practice this. So Maulana must have taken istihsan and he said, no, for the long term that we tried this, but rather now we keep it like that, how it was originally and so forth. And then he discussed, maybe, I don't know, I'm just saying maybe, that maybe they had some mashura with the wifaqul ulama and that is how they reached it there. But I didn't know anything about it till that pamphlet came out. And what Maulana say, it's fine, we'll run with it, we got no problem. But I'm telling you, even now, if any mufti, any alim, any organization says that they will carry on with the citing of the neighboring countries, you can't say they are wrong. Wala inkara fil ijtihad. Remember that. Al-Imam Shafi was a genius. He was the first person to write book on usulul fiqh. And remember, his book Ar-Risala is a masterpiece. That also you must get the copy. Ar-Risala, edited by Ahmad Muhammad Shakir, the great sheikh. Wonderful copy. And remember, there you will find wala inkara fil ijtihad. You make ijtihad, you just want make ijtihad. Somebody say we only going to accept South Africa, fine. Somebody say we're going to accept South Africa and the SADC country, Southern Africa and so forth. So it's fine. You can't say this is right. If you make that kind of statement, it shows you understand very little of fiqh and Islamic jurisprudence, like the examples I gave just now.
Mufti Sahib, coming to itikaf, when will the brothers come out of itikaf?
Once there is confirmation, Sunday evening, we have to scan the sky. So it's 19-hour moon. In Durban, just 18 hours and just maybe 50, 55 minutes or whatever. Just less than 19 hours, Durban. But us, it's just over 19 hours. 19 hours and 10 minutes, 11, 12 minutes, whatever. Cape Town will be 19 and a half and whatever. Now, whether the moon will be sighted or not is 50-50. You understand? If you ask these people who are the scientists and professors, they say there's hardly any chance. But we don't work with that. You understand? Maybe Maulana Parker, he comes there in Khrobler's Whoop and he tells us, I went there. You must go there, Maulana, Upington. So it's the most expensive ticket. That time from Johannesburg to Upington was 5,000, 6,000 rand return trip. So Allah shukr, I had that voyage of miles. I went alone. So then, because Maulana Parker's mother is my family, I performed the nikah also. So I said I want to see how they see the moon and all that. It was a very interesting trip. So I went and all that, spent 2-3 nights there and came. Anyway, so from there, Upington, you go 1 hour and there's a place called Khrobler's Whoop, and it's like a desert, you know, one place there. So not a big now, but open it is. So there they see. So I said, no, now it makes sense. So maybe Maulana and them, they pull it out, you know, you can't say it. That's why the name is Khrobler's Whoop. They give us hope all the time, you know. So you can't say, maybe, I don't know. So it's 50-50. You must remember that whether the moon will be sighted, not sighted, or that. So therefore, that we can take that into consideration if we are preparing, we want to go. So according to them, remember, the chances of sighting are slim. Don't say impossible, say slim and not so good. But remember that we don't work with that. We say every one of us, the men especially, go and look outside and see, scan the sky. If the moon sighted and confirmation comes, then remember, we will say that etikaf is finished, the month of Shawwal has started. And all the mu'takifin should come out. They should take out all their tents and everything, because they have to clean masjid and that. These mu'takifin also, they take so much place, you know. So therefore, I'm not too much in favor of all this. 30, 50, 100 people in one masjid and all that. So they cause a lot of inconvenience to people and so forth. So anyway, they all must clear up and and so forth, because the masjid has to be cleaned up and so forth for the Fajr Salat and for all that, for Isha Salat, Fajr Salat, all these type of things. What the Mu'taqif must not do, he mustn't there just go out, dismantling everything and walking out before confirmation. So then there's fear, what happens if there's no sighting? You are sure there will be sighting, and then there's no sighting, then his etiquette will break then. So therefore, he must wait till his confirmation, and then he leaves the masjid and take all these things with him. So that is what they must do.
Mufti Sahib, what happens to that person who breaks his sunnah itikaf?
Remember that whether the person broke it deliberately, intentionally, or because of a uzr and a valid excuse, his father, mother passed away, or he fell very ill himself or so forth, or the lady, she's sitting, or this is only Hanafis allow the business of women to sit for etikaf in the house. Shafis, Malikis, Ambalis, they don't accept that. So there's no etikaf in the house according to majority scholars. Only Hanafis allow that. Be that as it may, so we're answering the question and to educate our people, because remember, we receive these type of queries from different parts of the world. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So that's a great bounty, you know, people want to know and so forth. So take one, two easy examples. This brother was sitting in a masjid, everything was fine. He fell very ill. Oh, his father, mother passed away. Now he said, I have to go. So now the etiquette is broken. The lady was sitting, and we told them that they should not sit for etiquette if they are knowing, they know their menses will come, or they are going to give birth, nifas, postnatal, or the husband don't give permission, then they can't sit. But lo and behold, you know, in Ramadan it can happen. They eat dates, they do this, eat that. So before, they said, no, my menses will start after eat. But lo and behold, today, 26, 27, depending how you want to count it, South Africa is 26, in Makkah, Medina is 27 today. So yeah, her menses starts. So now what happens in a case like that? So remember, according to Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, there's no qadha. Because for them, itikaf is sunnah. You do it very good. You don't do it, there's no sin. You must remember that. According to the Hanafi fatwa, that is, and a great book on this, Maulana, I see you also, you're learning a little bit now about books and that, you must write it down. There's a great book. I was looking for some other book and my eyes fell on this one. So, mashallah, so it was very, then I started reading that one. Al-Insaf fi Hukm al-I'tikaf. Al-Insaf fi Hukm al-I'tikaf. By Sheikh Abul Hasanat. Sheikh Abul Hasanat is who? Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hay Lakhanavi. He was a genius. He was a giant. You must remember Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Hudda and them, they call him Imam Abdul Hay Al Lakhanavi. Such a great giant he is. Every book of his is a masterpiece if you look at it. So Sheikh Maulana Abdul Hay Lakhanavi, his book Al Insaf fi Hukm al Itikaf, he's got the whole discussion. Some Hanafi kitabs, they say mustahab, some say sunnah, some say this. But the fatwa is this, it's sunnah muakkada al kifaya. Now that person's etiquette broke, right? So yesterday that person had to go janaza, this, that. So he must make one day qaza only, not 10 day qaza, not the remainder days, only one day. So how you make one day qaza? Maghrib to maghrib. So say for example, tonight, before sunset, he's in the masjid, he spends the night there, and he must be fasting, and then he stays in the masjid from today Maghrib till tomorrow Maghrib, so that will be the qaza. He keeps on staying in the masjid, now his etikaf becomes nafil etikaf. It's not necessary that he must make the qaza during Ramadan. He says, no, there's a lot of visitors, or he's not well, or whatever. So he wants to make the qaza of that one day post Eid in Shawwal. So that also is fine. He might just go to the masjid, Maghrib to Maghrib, but he must keep a fast. So he can keep the 6 Shawwal fast and so forth. So one fast like that, so that will be fine. It will be acceptable. You take the lady who's napaki, whose menses started. So her itikaf is broken. So she can't continue. She won't be fasting also. If she gets clean during Ramadan, so now she says that tonight, tomorrow, whenever, so Friday night, Saturday, Sunday night, if Tuesday is Eid, like that. So you must remember, she will sit in that room or in that house, wherever, that she designated. So for 24 hours, Maghrib to Maghrib, she must be fasting, and she must be clean also, obviously, out of her menses. So that is the qada. So that's fine, you know. And for her also, if she don't want to sit in Ramadan, she can sit in Shawwal or any other time, but must be 24 hours and must be fasting. So that is what they must remember.
Mufti Sahib, with regards to the moon sighting, what should we do?
So you must remember that we all must go and scan the sky. But if you come out from the masjid and you see it's overcast and all that, then so wait for other towns, other cities and so forth. So in that, you see here also, we must, what is right, we have to say that. There's no, one day there was a conference in Jordan, Amman. Amman, we've been several times, you know. So anyway, so certain things they do is good. Other things upside down. That they had in 2000, 2001, 2002 or whenever, they had a big conference there. And then they came and passed this resolution. And oh, a lot of ulama were there. Arab ulama, Indian, Pakistan, there's that lot of ulama from Western countries. So from South Africa, one, two sheikhs were there. So anyway, then they passed the Amman Accord. Amman Accord means to say that the Hanafis, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, the Salafis, the Ibadiyah, and the Shias, Isna Ashariya, and the Zaydiyah, 8 groups. So they all are Muslim. So that is the khulasa. So we reject that totally. You must remember that. We say that Amman Accord is not worth the paper on which is written. Then yeah, in Cape Town, the same thing they started, they tried it. They said that this organization, in 1 week, with Allah's help, we flattened them. So Hazrat Mawlana Masadiq, they say ourselves, all that, and finish whole Cape Accord fell apart. You must remember that. The main thing they want to bring in the Isna Ashariya and the Shias and say they are Muslim when they are 100% kufar, you must remember. Person swearing, cursing our mother, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman. Person legalizing muta like Khomeini. In his book he writes 1 hour. So how can you call people like that Muslim? They go to religion, like how you got Jews, Christian and Hindus. So they like that, go practice on your religion. You got nothing to do with Islam. So I've been to Iran, I saw what they do and so forth. So therefore, whether it's Cape Accord or whether it's Amman Accord, we reject all this. However, there was one good conference they had. They said, they call Tawheedul Ahilla, Tawheed, uniting the moon and us and this. And I got books also on that. So how we must follow, you know, the moon crisis and this. So anyway, that. So there, our Cape Town people, there the Mancakers, the Moon Samis, you see, that they brought their files. That is that time. 70 years they had documented for every month who went to see the moon, was it sighted, wasn't it sighted, this, that. Not one Arab country had such details. Not one Muslim country, Pakistan, Indonesia, Malaysia, not one had. South Africa, our Mancakers, so that we must give them credit for. What great. It's raining or it's snowing or what, they go and they go see, go look for the moon and all. And not Ramadan moon and Shawwal moon and throughout the year they go. So it's a great thing. We must give them credit for that. So I went 1-2 times with them that time and has to do programs and that in Cape. So when this Shia issue came after 13 years, then they tell me, no, these, I said, no. that you don't come tell me what I must speak and what I can speak. You carry on, I'll carry on with mine. Allah gave us now this markaz with Allah's help, Allah's mercy. Allah reward the capital group for all their sacrifices also. So mashallah, so we speak what is the truth. People like, don't like, that's your business. So we must scan the sky. And then if it's cited and accepted by ulama, finish. Then it's more, then it's Eid. And if it's not cited, then Tuesday will be Eid. So that is what we will do, inshallah.
Mufti Sahib, someone's asked.
Myself, just on a lighter note, because people, so where am I going for Eid? Yeah, in Crosby. I think the masjid's name is Masjid Farooq, I forgot. So you must remember, I made Eid Salat, Eid lecture there 2-3 times, twice, I think. So you must remember that. So anyway, I'll be there, inshallah, on Monday or Tuesday, whenever is Eid. So there in Crosby, inshallah, we'll be there for the Eid. I'll just deliver the lecture, and that the Maulana, the Imam there, will make the Salat and the Khutbah and so forth, inshallah.
Mufti Sahib, someone wants to know if this is authentic. It says, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu says, whoever recites Surah Qadr 7 times on the night of Qadr will be protected from all calamities, and 70,000 angels will be praying for his entry into Jannah.
Remember, it's not authentic. That is all Shias. They make all these kind of things there. You must remember that, see, I show you something. You know Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. I show you 2 things. That you know Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. So Imam Bukhari, you must remember that he never took one hadith of Jafar-e-Sadiq. Jafar-e-Sadiq is 100% a giant of a scholar, contemporary of Imam Abu Hanifa. Anyway, but he said, I'm Amir. He don't say himself, but people would call him Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith, the master, the great professor in Hadith and so forth. He said, La na'arifu saqimahu min sahihi. We can't distinguish, you must remember, between which are authentic and which are propaganda fabrications attributed to him. Therefore, we left all these hadiths out. In Bukhari Sharif, he never used him. 16 years it took him. You go to Bukhari Sharif and go read what Ibn Sirin said about Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. He said that be very careful when you attribute things to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Who said? Ibn is in Bukhari Sharif. So you must remember that people will attribute lot of lies and so forth to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. If you say Sayyidina Ali said it, show us which book was it, and still we don't accept it. Show us the sanad. Show us the chain of transmission. Then we have to analyze every rawi, every reporter who mentioned it. Therefore, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah said, "Lawla al-isnad, laqala man sha'a ma sha'." Now these kind of books here, Nuzhatul Majalis and there, these are all fairy tale books, you must remember. The Nuzhatul Majalis are lecture books. That is books, you must remember, that for the why for the Qussas, people who say fairy tales, people who give Lal Kitab stories. It's not Hadith Kitab. Majalis-e-Abrar also is not Hadith Kitab. So therefore, some people, they objected on that also, is included. And I mean, it's the truth. It's not the Hadith Kitab, so you must remember that. So we must be very careful when we attribute something. The Nusratul Majalis or Majalis-e-Abrar and so forth are more books on, you know, for lectures and so forth and so forth. It's not books that got compilation of Sahih Hadith or Sahih things. It's more storytelling and so forth. So therefore, that it will not be accepted as authentic. That is what we are saying. So for authentic, we need chain of transmission, and every Rawi, every person must pass the test. Then you say it's authentic.
Mufti Sahib, should we go to the graveyard or not?
Remember on Eid day and all that. Oh yeah, speaking of that, so everybody should try and procure a copy of Muslim Woman, mashallah. The May edition is out, and all these kind of issues here, very pertinent, are mentioned there. If I remember correctly, then that question is there in the Q&A page. That is, it's sunnah to go to the graveyard on Eid day. It's not sunnah, but but it is permissible. For example, I go to Heidelberg, so my parents are buried there, my brothers are buried there, and so forth. So I will go to the graveyard, but we don't say it's sunnah, we say that it is, you must remember, permissible. So that is how you need to understand these issues properly here. So some things are sunnah, then it's sunnah. Some things are permissible, like now Eid day, that you say Eid Mubarak. So if you say Eid Mubarak, what you going to say? You will say it is permissible. You won't say it is sunnah. We will say taqabbal Allahu minna wa minkum is sunnah. The hadith in Bayhaqi and in Fathul Bari is mentioned. The Sahaba also used to say so. So one is sunnah and one is what is permissible. Quickly, inshallah, let's give you the rundown. 12 o'clock news with Brother Yusuf Ali. Thereafter, Mufti Hashim Bouda, inshallah. Then 1 o'clock will be Adhan, 105 to 130, Surah Jasiya. Inshallah, we'll complete the 25th juice today and the Surah, verses 26 to 37. 1:30 to 2 o'clock, we'll be starting chapter 23, the 18th Supara, Surah Mu'minun, and that is verses 1 to 4. 2 to 2:30 will be the special Ramadan Q&A with Yusuf Ali and myself. 2:30 to 3, current affairs with Brother Yusuf Ali. 3 to 3:40, the repeat of this morning's Q&A. Well, listen to it, very interesting it is. Nice questions came in. And then 3:40 to 4 will be Duas and Zikr. 4 to 5:20 more Khalid Yaqub. And then with Hafiz Hussein Wadi till the Durban Iftar time. And then the Masnoon Surahs. And then Brother Yusuf Ali. And then Maa Zahid Khan. And then 7:15 we go to Avondale for the local Tarawih. 8:25 or so we go to Makkah Mukarramah for the Tarawih there. And inshallah today, for tonight, remember, we'll have a special program between 10 and 10:40, and it will be advices and dua, and it is Laylatul Jumu'ah, the night of Friday. Inshallah, is Laylatul Qadr. Try to complete your Quran Sharif also, so it becomes Laylatul Khatmil Quran. Allah Jalla wa la give us tawfiq. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Salaamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullah.
We say Jazakumullah Khairan to Mufti Sahib and to all our listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We head on for the news now with Brother Yusuf Ali. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah.